it's this love that God's presented to us first. I didn't first love God, but He first loved me. Can you hear that tonight? Come on, tell somebody, He first loved me. He first loved me. He first loved me. Hallelujah. So tonight, I just want to present this to you because I told everybody before that the name of my sermon was I Am Your Beloved. And then when I got done, just really God put this in my heart and I wrote this all down. When I got done, I got into my phone. I began to look some songs to begin just to worship with. And the first song that came up was this. I never heard it before in my life. So maybe some of you have ever heard that song. Anybody? No, that's the first. I've never heard that ever. I just pray that ministers to your heart. I pray that it quickens you. I pray that you hear. I pray that because, you know, can I tell you something? I want you to hear this. Because there's so many things that's been spoken over your life that keeps us, prevents us from receiving. Hear me tonight. And the only way that it's broken is by faith and by standing in a place and continue to hear God speak over you and Him tell you, I love you. I love you. I love you. It's the hardest thing for us to agree with because we see ourselves in our rags. We see ourselves in our selfishness, in our pride, in our brokenness, in our situations. But God doesn't see us that way. He doesn't see you that way. And I'm going to show you that tonight. I want to present this gospel to you. And one of the reasons why I began to come with this message and I want to present this to you is because it's so important for us to present the gospel to others because I need to understand the foundation of the heart of God. I need to know what He's about. I need to know God's heart because here's the thing. Within 2 days, 3 people came to me and said, why? Why? And listen, I want you to hear this. Maybe you've said this. Maybe you've asked this and it's okay. But I hear tonight, after tonight, you'll never ask this question again. We'll never ask this question again because it's not who God is. And it's a lie. Come on, amen. It's a lie. And here's what it is. Why does God let these things happen? Why does God let suffering? Why does God let these problems happen in this world? And I'm here to tell you that that's the wrong question. It's the wrong person to be asking about. Because it's not about God. I'm going to show you that tonight. Because God's all about you. He's all about you. And all through the Bible, He shows us this. But so tonight I want to get into this because I want to present this to you. You ready to receive? Amen. You ready to receive? Amen. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord's saying. I just don't want you to hear this. I just pray that your ears would open, that you hear this. And we begin to take hold of this thing. And Randy, were you able to get that? You got that, right? Okay, good. All right. It's going to be towards the end, so you don't have to have your trigger finger ready. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So, I'm going to get into this thing. Liza, you could kill that. I want to give you an understanding of the Bible. And some of you might know this, but some of you might not know this. So, I want to just throw this out to you so that we can begin to understand that there's things to look through. The Bible is written for us to all through. There's a story, amen, and that I can begin to relate to a lot of these things. Come on, is there a character in the Bible that you can relate to? Everybody got a character in the Bible. Every one of us do. Come on, amen. Each one of us have this character. And they're not, you know, they're every one of these things, every one of them are fallible. Every one of them, like, you know, have failures that they fell short to the glory of God. But there's one character in the Bible that never fell short. And I'm going to present that to you. Amen. How many of you guys think you know who that is? Jesus. You knew that. You just didn't want to say it. You knew what it was. Yeah, come on. I mean, He's perfect in all of His ways. But I want you to hear this. So the Bible is written and it begins to present the story from all the way from Genesis all the way through the Bible. And there's narratives. We all know what narratives are to a story. There's a narrative. And it's telling a story. And in every narrative, there's a character. Different characters. And every narrative, there's a setting, a place that it takes place in. and then there's a plot. Come on, you got people that come into it and go out of it, involved in it, and all of a sudden it comes to an end and it brings a plot. The one narrative that I want to talk to you tonight about is this. And I want you to see the narrative that keeps repeating itself all the way through the Bible. And when you get this picture, you begin to understand it's there for us to receive this and to hear this and to say, hey, I better get this in my head. Amen? So here's the narrative. It begins with Adam and Eve. You all know the story. You know where it is. It's in the garden, and he's in there, and God's in there. There's characters in the Bible. There's animals, all these things. But the first thing that begins to do is God told him, he says, everything's good. Say everything's good. Except the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. Stay away. This is your father. Stay away. And what do? They enters into their mind because the enemy begins to speak something. And he speaks something and they begin to receive it. And what did they do? They thought in their mind, this has to be good. God's got to be wrong. So they took, say took. There's special words in the Bible that say things and it's powerful. You need to catch the words in these. And every one of these narratives have the same word, same situation, different plots. They took it. And because they took it, they had to step out of Eden. This is God's presence. This is where God's presence was. This is where they were supposed to reign and to rule and to have dominion. And the moment that they took it, out of their own selfishness, out of their own desires, they took it. They thought that they knew something more than God. So they took it. Say took it. And because of that, all of a sudden, sin began to multiply. Then, I'm going to go through these real quick now. Abraham and his wife that God presents to him. He says, Abraham, I want you to carry my seed and I want to multiply you and I want to bring forth it that you're going to take hold of it by faith. And all of a sudden, God and speaks to him and Sarah and they're standing there. But God didn't answer right away. It didn't come right away. And so what did they do? They became impatient. And they thought, why don't we do it this way? And they took Sarah's maid. And when they took Sarah's maid, say took. They took something that they thought was better than what God offered. And because of it, they had Ishmael. And from Ishmael, you know the story that from generation after generation, they faced all the suffering and all this hurtfulness. All these things were opened up in their lives. But here's God again. He's always presenting himself. So we could see here that here's God. He's on the mountain. He's talking to Moses. He's having this relationship with Moses. He's saying, Moses, listen to me. I know you guys have failed me. I know this, but I want to bring you in. I want this relationship to have. So I'm going to give you these commandments, to take hold of these commandments. And he says, and I want you to give them to the people. And while he's doing this, God's talking about you on the mountain. And while that's happening, Aaron's down below and he becomes impatient with God and says, you know what? Let's just go another way. And he took the gold. Say took. And he made a golden calf. And they worshiped it. And when that happened, the earth opened up and consumed 3,000. And then Aaron, we know the story of Achan, where Achan was into a place where that God told him, he says, when you go into Ai, he says, or when you're in Jericho, he says, don't, everything is, give it to God. He says, destroy everything. He says, don't take anything for yourselves. But what happened? Achan took. And he took it because he was selfish and he desired something for himself. And he buried it in the earth. And because of that, so many people suffered because when they went to Ai, they got defeated and many died. I want you to see the picture here. These are narratives. And it's the same thing. It's a different plot. But every one of these things, different characters. So then he went from there. And the children of Israel, here they are. They're saying, you know what, God? Listen, we're tired. We want a king. Because everybody else around us has kings. So we want a king. We want to be like them. God says, no, you don't. I want to be the voice to you. We get it, but we want a king. God says, okay. So they took Saul. And you know the consequences of that. Because of Saul, they suffered. He took advantage of them. He hurt them. He abused them. He abandoned them. He broke them. And see what entered in. But then we see the story of David. David, when he was a place where he was supposed to be with, as a king, representing his people, but he decided to be selfish and stay behind. And when he did, he seen Bathsheba and he took her. And because of it, her husband died. The baby died. And from then on, his family was in chaos against each other. I just said that for us to understand something. I kind of see the picture that God's not the problem. But it's us taking things that God's not provided for us. And taking things in our thinking, in our thoughts, come on, that the enemy might present to you. And what happens is when the enemy begins to place these things at our feet, we decide we have a choice. Say choice. We have a choice of whether or not at that moment I'm going to choose that or I'm going to choose this. We talk about body, soul, and spirit, that we have a choice to receive what the spirit has for us, or we could choose what the flesh is saying. And the flesh brings destruction and brings death. So we see the cycle all the way through the Bible. So we need a narrative change. Help me tonight. We need a narrative change. We need somebody to break the cycle. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to give you good news. Jesus broke the cycle to that narrative. He gave us a new narrative. He gave us a new choice. He presented to us a gospel, the good news, that we could receive and break the cycle. Because God has called us. He placed us in this earth. His desire was for us to rule in the earth on His behalf. As sons and daughters. He wanted a family business to represent Him to everybody. To multiply His image and likeness. But we've multiplied selfishness, greed, rebelliousness. But Jesus has broken it. And this is where we come to this story right here. And I wanted you, because I have this picture in my mind. With my daughter, when she was born, man, it's an exciting time. But this moment with me, I don't know if you know the story, but at this time, I had a root canal. And I got it before my daughter was born, but she didn't get everything out and sealed it up. Y'all know what, I mean, talk about pain, okay? This is the moment where I'm not going to say, but you just like, there's no pain like this, man, other than giving birth. Trust me. Because I had this, and she was going through that, and she looked way worse than I did. So I want you to see this. So here's this thing. So I'm in this tremendous pain. My face is fatter than what it is right now. Don't laugh. Thanks, Sue. It was really swelled up. And here's my wife. She's about ready to give birth. And my wife, by the time it was done, her face was swelled up from giving birth. And my daughter's head was like a... And the reason, we're all swollen heads. Like, we're all, okay, we're big heads, you know. Hey, but I'm going to give you this picture because it was all loving. And now it is. But at that moment, it was traumatic. And here's why. Because my wife was like, it was like, what was it? Like 20 some hours trying to bring my daughter. And they were like, oh my gosh, it's too late now. We can't do anything else. We can't do this. So we have to. And they had to bring my daughter out with forceps. Clamps on her skull. I'm freaking out. And she was born in honor. It was called a traumatic birth. Traumatic birth. I mean, think about this. The first time that you come into the world, this earth, this is what you're like, what? Are you kidding me? Listen, I want you to get this picture. Because listen to me, that because of sin, we enter this world because of that. We're born into suffering. want you to hear this. Every one of us, come on, that we go on. It's a human condition that people face in this world. We enter into it. Not that moment on, right then and there, there's a race that God's presenting all the time to you who He is. They have that choice of receiving what He has in your life. In that moment, here's this traumatic moment, and I begin to think about this, my daughter. And when she came out, and when she was there, here's all these things. She's screaming, she's crying, she's fearful, she's afraid. Sometimes we feel that way in this world. Sometimes we feel that way. Come on, it's presented that way. It's the system of the world. And at that moment, as my daughter was laying there, oh man, I didn't know what to do, man. And I was like, what do I do? He says, she knows your voice. What? Yeah. Because every time you would say something to your wife, she would go. Babies don't really move their heads. She was bending her head to see where I was at. And I began to think about that. I began to think that this is what God wants us to know, that because I want to give my daughter good news, I want to give my, what do I have to say to her? What am I going to say to her that will help her? What can I say to her? I want you to remember that right there, this story, as we go on. As we go into Matthew 3. You all right? As a father, I have to say, what do I have to offer? I want you to get the big picture of God, that in this world with this chaos, God has this moment that we come in this moment. God says, what do I have to offer to you? I'm here to tell you, He's God Almighty. He's a father like no other. We have fathers that have failed, that have been corrupt, but I'm here to tell you, He is perfect in all of His way. He's a good, good father. He's perfect, and He's desiring to give you, hallelujah, purpose and plans in your life, to speak to you. A message of purpose. And here's what it is. You all right? Okay. You ready? Okay. All right, so check out Matthew 3. I just want to give this to you. I want you to see this. I want to try to get through this part really quick. So he says, and in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said that he was spoken by the prophet Elisha, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make His path straight. So here we go. We got this picture. Come on, amen. Here's the narrative. This is the story right here. We're changing to the narrative, and it's presented this way. The first person that shows up, this is weird. Here's this guy, and he's got a camel hair jacket on. I mean, Elton John has a song about that, doesn't he? Something like that. So, and he's eating what? Locust with honey. Like, that's going to make it better. But here's this guy. It really seems weird. And here he comes to bring the story. I don't know about you, but listen, God chooses sometimes weird people to bring forth, to say, I'll choose whoever I want to choose. I will bring forth my message to whoever. So he begins the narrative with somebody, a wacko, looks like a wacko to everybody else. But here he is bringing forth a message to say, this is a new narrative. And what he's doing, he's saying, repent. And what he's presenting is saying, listen to me, this is a revival. I'm bringing forth this message, and I'm asking that you come forth with repentance, because there's one that's coming behind me that has come to deliver you from this brokenness. Amen? And he says, he was calling the people back, say back, to a covenant. Listen, we know the old covenant, we know the new covenant. This is the difference. I'm going to do this really quick, really quick. When I said quick. No, you didn't. So here it is. What is this? Ah, come on. What? Who? Ten Commandments. Okay? So God, out of their disobedience and all this stuff, God brings a people, gathers them together, and God begins to say, listen, I want you to be set apart. Say, set apart. So I'm going to give you these laws, and here's the laws. How many are there? There's 10. Say 10. So this part of the laws, the five laws, were about loving God. Say, love God. The other five, what do you think that they're about? Loving others. Say, love your neighbor. Now, this is odd at this moment because, listen, there's battles, there's people hating each other, and here's God. He says, listen to me. This is all your commandment is. Love me and love people. There's only 10. I'm going to tell you this to me. As you begin to follow the story, what happens you begin to see is this is a covenant that God had with his people. Covenant. I just want you to love me. I want you to love my people. I want you to multiply my love through you and love them. That's the heart of God. It's not destruction. It's not hatred. That's God's heart. So what do they do? They bring destruction. What do? That they begin to break every single one of the commandments. They're not even out of the booth. God's up on the mountain. He comes down. What are they doing? They're making an idol. So as you begin to follow the story, all of a sudden God begins to say, poop, poop, here's all these new commandments. Poop, poop. By the time they're done, there was how many? 613. 613. Because they kept breaking these. The story was this, for every one of those to realize, wow, here's what Moses said at the end. Let me just give it to you this way. Here's what he said. You're not going to get it. He says, here's what you need. You need a transformed heart. See, God wrote it on stone. But God says, I'm going to bring you a new covenant because you broke the last one. So I'm going to bring you a new covenant that can't be broken because I'm making a covenant with myself. You get it?
You have a tissue. Oh, you know what? I better not. You have a tissue. I need to wipe that off.
You good? Can you wipe that off for me? Oh, she. You got it. You got it, Jay. Thanks, hon. So they broke it. And they need a transformed heart. Amen? So they set them apart. So here's what the law said at first. It says this. How many of you guys know how it goes? Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Say it with me. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. They couldn't do that. So God says, I'm giving you a new covenant and this is what it is. I will. Come on. That's good news. I will. You got to get the picture. Come on, amen. Because we have done this for thousands of years. We have did a narrative that continues to open up chaos in our lives. And God says, I'm going to break it. I'm going to break the cycle because I'm going to bring a new covenant because you broke the last covenant, but it's okay. I want you to see the picture of God. They keep breaking the covenant and God keeps showing up. Why? Because he loves you. He's desperate for you. Come on, amen. It's his will. It's ingrained with him. That's who he is. He is love. What's God? God's love. You all right? All right, let's get through this. So, here we are. So it goes down and says, and he says this. He says that they come to a place of repentance. And he says, and now, in verse 10, it says, and now, also the axe, say the axe, is laid upon the root of the tree. Remember that word. The axe is laid upon the root. Whenever it says something like this, when he throws it, he's just not a wacko. He's given us something because it has to do with something else. You get the picture here. So what is God axing? So he says, and therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is going to be cut down, cast into the fire. He says, and I need baptize you with water unto repentance. But you, he that cometh after me is mightier than I am. And I can't even untie his shoes. And he says, I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Come on, amen. And whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat. And you're like, oh my goodness, why? Because we got a negative picture of God. And I'm here to tell you, this is the picture that God's presenting of who he is. So God's purging and he's purifying. Ha, listen, he's purging and he's purifying. Get this tonight. Get this. I want you to catch this. Amen. And then, so he's going to purge and he's going to purify. And it's going to be how I will. So that everybody get this picture real quick. So we got to understand that when I receive the Spirit of God within me, the Spirit of God, that when my spirit is awakened, when I receive God by faith, oh, you got to jump through loops. You got to be a member of the church. If you confess with your mouth, and if you believe with your heart, you shall be saved. It's believing where? If you do this and do this and do this, you shall be saved. No, he's just saying this. If you believe where? In your heart. And here, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We have a hard time believing, but that's okay. Tell your neighbor that's okay. Because inside me, it's the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Spirit. And I'm ignorant sometimes. I don't know God's love. I don't realize what he's telling me. So guess what? I'm going to put a teacher inside you. This used to be the teacher, the old law. But now I'm going to put the teacher inside you and he's going to direct you. But you got to listen. You got to trust me. You got to believe in the word. And if you do, those things that would keep you from going to God are going to be consumed. It's not anymore about you trying to do it. It's God, hallelujah, moving in your life and you're receiving. Say receiving. It's receiving. Come on, it's receiving. It's receiving what God has for me. Come on, amen. To unleash the power of God in my life, in my circumstances. God's waiting, hallelujah, for us to be at a place where to receive, to take hold of that God's Spirit, hallelujah, flows through us like fire and burns up whatever that thing might be. All right.
That was dripped all over the place. You didn't see that, did you?
Sorry. Mimsy. So listen. Listen. Verse 15. Right, it says, and he cometh to Galilee of the Jordan. Say the Jordan. Remember, settings are important. So he goes to a specific place. Where's it at? The Jordan. I know you guys know the Jordan because at the Jordan, the first time they came to the Jordan was the children of Israel. They left Egypt 40 years in the wilderness, and now Joshua was taking them where? Into the promised land. And to get to the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan. To enter into the promise. So here's a picture. All of a sudden, here's John in a river. Not down by in a van. Some of you might know that joke. Chris Farley in a van down by the river. So he says, so in verse 15, it says this. And it says, and Jesus, so here it is. So all of a sudden, he's presenting this new that they were going to enter in. And as soon as he begins to present this, all of a sudden he looks up. And guess who shows up? Lo and behold, it's Jesus. And he says in John, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. I want you to know that, listen to me, I'm telling you this, that meant something to those ones that were there. It meant something because they understood, wait a minute, the Lamb, and they began to think about this stuff. And a lot of people repented at that moment because they realized he was the Lamb. So here he comes down, he presents himself to John. And he says, baptize me. Wait a minute. You're the Messiah. Baptize you? You baptize me. And this is what Jesus says. Listen, ready? And he says, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Tell someone it has to happen. To fulfill all righteousness. Listen. You need to fulfill. I need to fulfill. I need to fulfill all righteousness. What makes you righteous? Right here. I want you to get this picture. Come on, amen. Come on. Tell your neighbor it's not about you. But it's about Jesus. Come on, amen. So what makes you righteous? Here's what it is. What is righteousness? Listen, Jesus is God becoming human to set all things right. So here is God, hallelujah, coming in human form. What we couldn't do as humans. Humans are amazing. They're awesome. We do amazing things, but yet we do horrible things. But humans are amazing. There's no other species that can do what we do. Sometimes we don't act like humans. But I'm here to tell you that we were created, that out of us is special, something special like no other creature has. We have that. But we couldn't perform. We couldn't do it. We could not produce righteousness out of our own selves. So God says, all right. He became human. Human form. To do on our behalf, what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's why Jesus says this so many times. I am the Son of Man. Why does he say that? Because he wants to get your attention. I'm human. I'm God, but I'm human. I'm flesh and blood just like you. I laid aside my glory and left it, but I came in human form, just like you. I entered this brokenness, this suffering, this pain to disrupt, to bring you a new narrative. All right, you okay? All right. So he says fulfill. So Jesus is God becoming human to set all things right. Say all things right. The covenant, he had a covenant commitment to rescue and to restore his world. He had a covenant. So here is his covenant coming foretold. This is the covenant coming forth in Jesus in human form to fulfill the covenant that we broke. That God desired so much. There's so much to add to this, but I'm trying to get through this. So bring his, he wanted to bring, this, justice means this. Character, his character. Justice in his character. To bring his character, who he was, to our lives. Amen? All right. So, here's what happened. What happens? And Jesus said, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open. All of a sudden, say the heavens were open. I want you to get this picture. All of a sudden, here's just this picture that all of a sudden, the heavens are open. Who opened the heavens? God opened the heavens. Who did he open it for? His son. Get this. And then what happens? Then all of a sudden, help me out here. He says, lo, he says, the heavens were open and unto him and saw the Spirit of God descending like, say like. We got to get that. It's like. Say like. Like a dove. We can preach about that characteristics of a dove and you'd love it. Just, it's pretty good. So here it is. So here it is. It's coming down. The last time you've seen the Spirit, here comes the dove hovering over the water. The first time, Genesis 1, 2. That you see the same thing. Say in the beginning. We screwed up. But there's a beginning. A new covenant. Say a new beginning. And guess what? The Spirit. And it says, and the earth was without form. It was void. and it was in chaos, kind of like the situation we've been in to this point. And it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, hovered upon the face of the waters. And then what happened? Next verse. And God said, God said, let there be light. And guess what? Who is the light of the world? Jesus. All of a sudden, here he is right here. Come on, amen. It's been plugged in. All of a sudden, the cat's out of the bag. This is presented to us. I've come here to change this environment. I've come here to cause these things that have caused chaos, to cause them to come into submission to my people, into the Spirit of God that's within you. I want to partner with you. I want to partner with you. Come on, amen. We're not just going to wait to fly away. I've come here, hallelujah, that you have life and life more abundantly. That those things that have bullied you, I want the Spirit that's in you, come on, amen, to come forth against them. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the chaos that's in the world. I'm going to run out of breath. No, that's not good. And so Jesus baptized straightway, says, and likewise, and lifting upon, setting, hovered over, setting upon, there's a new beginning. Say new beginning. The Son was accomplishing what we couldn't do because we kept creating chaos. So, verse 17, and lo, you got to get this. Lo, lo, lo. Hello, can you go? A voice from heaven saying this. This is key. I want you to get this. Because this is everything to you. This is everything to me. This is what he said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, can I just give you a picture of this real quick? Before I draw this, I want you to, somebody look up, can you look up Isaiah 11, 1 through 3? And I want you to catch this. So God speaks through the Spirit. Come on, amen. I want you to see this picture here. So God speaks through the Spirit to his Son. And what does he say? This is my Son, in whom well pleased. What does it say here? You got that one? It says, in these there shall be come forth a rod. Remember this. Remember I told you about the root and the tree, cutting it down? He says, a branch that shall grow out of his roots. So listen, it's say a dead tree that did not produce any fruit. We, out of our covenant with God, broke it. And we didn't produce any fruit. So God's coming here to these ones that were supposed to be carrying his covenant that broke it, that didn't produce any fruit. All of a sudden he says, John says, he's going to come cut the tree down. But there's hope. Because he says, out of that tree, out of the line of Jesse, out of heritage, from Abraham, here comes a root that springs forth. Say a branch. And it shall grow his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. I'm here to tell you, Jesus was that branch that came forth. Where else do you see a tree? In Genesis, there was a tree that was producing fruit in the middle of the garden. Here it is. His name's Jesus. He is the tree of life. And he said this, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom, understanding. These are seven characters of God. Say seven. He says, in wisdom and understanding, and he will carry the characters of wisdom, understanding, of counsel, of might, a spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Reverence to God, to the Father, that he would bow himself and say, I am here. I am your servant. I know I'm a son, but I'm a servant serving you. How does he do it? He does it out of love. And he says, in fear, he says, and shall not, can you look up Isaiah 11, 1?
No.
No. Isaiah 42. Let's see if I'm right. Dun, dun, dun. How's it go? How's Jeopardy go? Yeah. Yes. And behold, my servant, whom I uphold. God is speaking his word. This is God's word. He's speaking it, but he says it in five words. But this is what he's saying. My servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon. Come on, you get it? He says, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Next verse. He says, and he shall cry not, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. Next voice. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall be. There's a lot into that. Keep going, keep going. I want you to give you this. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Tell your neighbor, he won't fail. Come on, it's good news. He will not fail. He will not break this covenant. Will not get discouraged. He says, till he have set the judgment in the earth, and the owl shall wait for his law. Next. He says, and thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto people upon it, the spirit to them that walk therein. Next verse. One more. You all right? Because it keeps going. You keep going. He says, and I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. So I've come to fulfill it with my son in human form to fulfill all righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep you and give you. This sounds like a pretty cool guy. He's a good father. And he says he will give for you a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. All right. That's enough, Liza. So, this is the word. Say, well pleased. Real quick.
Do you see that better? What does it say?
Huh? I can't write that bad, do I? Say, Father. Son. Spirit. So here you got this thing going on here. And he tells him, he says, you are my, through the Spirit, the Father says to the Spirit to bring forth this message, to declare to his Son. The Spirit speaks through the Father speaks through the Spirit, and the Spirit speaks to what? The Son. That you're my Son, and I'm pleased with you, and I'm your Father. I want you to get this. He's not saying it for himself, he's saying it for you. This is the pattern that God wants us to live by. Once you see this pattern, it's going to help you. I promise you. I don't care what time it is because I want us to get through. I want you to see this. This is powerful. This is victory. So this is it right here. And what is driving it is this. It's love. So the Spirit is presenting who his heart is towards the Son. This is what God wants you to know. Because I want you to know that if you don't get this, we will never go any farther. You can't go any farther because you will fail. You'll keep failing. You'll try to do your own best. You'll be disappointed. This is what God wants you to get. Every one of us to get this picture of who, this right here. Of who he is and what he desires us to do. So listen. Jesus, at this moment, how many miracles did Jesus do, Jeff? Before this. How many miracles did Jesus do before this? No, that Jesus did. Before the Jordan. No, No, before the Jordan, right this moment, right here. Nothing. Say nothing. He did nothing. This is when Jesus shows up. He did nothing. He didn't raise anybody from dead. He did no miracles. He didn't heal anybody. He did nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. But the Father says, I am pleased. You're my beloved, and I'm pleased. I'm pleased with you. So I want you to get this picture. Come on. It wasn't about what he did. It's about who he was. You're my son. You're my beloved, and I'm pleased with you. I want you to know every one of us are driven by that. You know what caused us to derail? Is us not finding someone to be pleased with us. I'm here to tell you this. Listen to me. See, our love is represented us from, unfortunately, in a corrupt way sometimes in our lives, where that this love is presented us and it's emotional. It's based upon emotion. It's based upon what you do for me. And what happens is I begin to try to replicate that, and I try to get you to love me, to be pleased with me by how I look, how I present myself, that you think I'm strong or I'm mighty. Love me. How many times you've been that failed you? Hear me tonight. How many times have that failed you? Even with our own children. I mean, that's the only thing we can example of is you have a child, and when that child's in my wife's belly, I never seen her, I never heard her, but I loved her. But I'm telling you this, I have failed her. Because hear me, guys. Because I'm not perfect. I'm striving to be like Christ. But every one of us always somehow present this image. That listen, we want our kids to be good, to do this. We tell them that listen, no matter, I love you no matter what. But whenever they tend to do things that are wrong, we get discouraged with them. We get upset with them. We don't like the way they're going. Come on. Come on, come on. I want you to get this picture. I'm trying to get us to see this. He did nothing. And he says, I love him. He says, but the Bible, love is action. It's a choice to seek the well-being despite whether or not they receive it or not. To seek the well-being, even if you don't reciprocate it. If you never love me, I'm going to love you, he said. If you never give it back to me, I'll never stop loving you. Whew. That's what creation is groaning for. That's what these young kids that are confused with who they are longing for. Please somebody. They're trying to please themselves. They're trying to get this. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do this and that. Our world is broken in chaos, but we have the answer. I have the solution. So all of a sudden, you begin to see right here, this is a picture of a permanent, say permanent, commitment to the Son. It's permanent. Because I'm telling you before you start, it's like the good news that I could give to my daughter, the message I could give to my daughter, I love you, and I'm permanently committed to you. That's what God said to the Son. Are you all right? He says, this love we experience, that we desire to be loved, this and that, with this. And this love Jesus feels, this love that Jesus feels right here, proceeds out of everything that he does. Listen, it is the result of everything Jesus does is the result of this. Every decision is love. Everything that he does is based upon the love of the Father. Listen, so here's what happens. You ready? I got to give you this real quick. You all right? All right, I got to get through this. So here's what happens. Verse 4, 1. Right after this, the one thing he says is this: I am pleased with you. And then what happens? The Spirit leads him Where? To the wilderness. To be tempted. What's driving him? The Spirit. What is pushing it all? Love. He was flowing with the Spirit, even though the wilderness is empty, it's broken, there's no food there, there's not an Arby's there, there's not a Burger King there, there's nothing there, there's not a water fountain, there's not water, whatever it is. So he's going in, and he knows that he's making a decision to be led by the Spirit, trusting the Father, to know that I'm his. He's mine. This is what's driving him. So he says, so here's what Jesus does. It says, so he, the first thing he does, he encounters, what does he encounter? Evil. Say narrative. Do you guys get the picture? The narrative that I said from the beginning? Here it is, and Jesus has a choice. Say choice. To choose. To take. The devil comes to him and says to him, what are you doing? You're starving. Why would your father let you starve to death? We've all had those questions. Hear me. Come on, amen. Our thoughts, they forsake us. Our flesh forsakes us because our circumstances create an environment that's not of love. And I choose that environment over the environment that was already represented to me. It's love. And he says this. What does he say? It is written. Say it's written. What does he quote? His father's word. He had that moment, had a moment that he could have, right then and there, he could have chose. But this is the enemy's tactics. But this loving presence was with him. This loving presence. That moment, that there was that opportunity to provide for yourself. To prove yourself. To promote yourself. Say self. Every one of these things are about self. But that's not the picture that God gives us as sons. He says, I'm in this with you. It's not self. It's the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. I want you to get this. It's flowing. Never-ending circle. You know, a wedding ring, it's eternal. God says, I want you to enter into this circle of love. Come on, let me get through this. You give me a minute? 5 minutes? Hands, anybody? 5, 10? I know. So listen, so that's an old joke, I know. He says, so listen, the Father doesn't care. Each time he resists the urge with what? The Spirit, the Father, speaks to the Spirit, and the Spirit speaks to the Son. The words of the Father. He doesn't break the cycle. He doesn't take, but he chooses the Father. Listen, he says, so Romans 8:14. Can you look that up real quick? I'm almost done. I want to give this because this is what kind of ties it all together. You all right? For as many, help me tonight. Say it with me. Ready? Those that are led by the Spirit are sons. Led by the Spirit sons of God. Listen, do you see this going? Next verse. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again unto fear. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but God has given me spirit of love and a sound mind. That's what God's given me. The enemy wants you to exchange that to bondage of fear. And he says, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, and whereby now you cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. He places you in this. Listen to me. You guys got to get this. All right? You okay? He says that the Spirit communicates this to me, and I let the Spirit communicate to me. So he places us in my true, say true, identity. He places me in my true identity as a son. That now, sons and daughters, verse 8:28. Can you look that up real quick? Listen, I want you to see this.
I'm rapping. I'm going. I'm done.
What does it say? It says this. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. Moreover, He says, oh yeah, for we He did foreknow, He also did predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn of many sons. He was the firstborn of many sons of daughters. And through that, let's jump back to that verse. He says, the Spirit itself bears witness to me that we are the children. How important is the Spirit of God in you? That's a key element, guys. The Spirit of God in me. What does it do? It begins to what? Bear witness to me that I am a son of God. So Jesus being led by the Spirit was witnessing to him, you're a son of God. He was letting the Spirit lead him. And when the enemy was speaking, he let the Word of God speak through his life and say, I am a son of God. That's who I am. Hallelujah. He began to disrupt the pattern of the enemy. He's changing the narrative to everything. He's fulfilling what we couldn't have done. Now I can see that, guess what? Here he is right in front showing us that this thing is done. Amen? And he says this. He says, and if you're a child, then you're an heir. If you're an heir, he says, you're an heir of God, then you're a joint heir with Christ. Say joint heir. I don't have time to get into that. But if so, that we suffer with him, we might be glorified together. An heir, to be an heir, somebody has to die. Here's the problem. When we don't let the Spirit of God witness to us, I negotiate out of court. If I don't know the will that the Spirit is telling me, the Word, I will negotiate like Adam, like Aaron, like Abraham. They negotiated the will, and couldn't inherit the promises. But not us. Listen, can we say not us? But this is a permanent commitment that he makes. Act of love. And this is what happens. The point, all this, out of this love, it points to this moment. Say this moment. I know you know what it is. You ready? That love points to this moment. It's the cross. Say it's his death. At the cross, he absorbed all my selfishness, all the disobedience. He absorbed it. He took it. He became sin. The one that knew no sin became sin. He absorbed it. Say no more. In this right here, say no more. No more. He disrupts it. Sin is disrupted. Has no power. Has no authority. Has no place in me. The devil has no part of me. Why? Because of what Jesus did at the cross. He disrupted it, the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. He destroyed the works of the enemy. Now he triumphs over them. Hallelujah. And then in this right here, his love is parading, declaring. The God's love is declaring over your lives as we receive it by faith. Amen. He says, so the disease that we have made. He said, I wrote this down. Is the cost of all selfishness, sinful decisions that we have made, he absorbed. All the decisions that we have made, he absorbed. Real quick, I got you to get this. Get that up. Could you put that up there? The Bible says this in John. Say John 3. Jesus speaks this right here. And it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. Who? The Son of Man be lifted up. He says, then whosoever believeth in me should not perish but have everlasting life. So where's the other time that we've seen Jesus lifted up? It was on a cross. He was lifted up. But Jesus was referring to this moment. I just want you to get this picture, because this is a picture of him destroying what took place. And do you remember Moses? What happened was the children of Israel were murmuring, they were complaining, and all of a sudden it begins to bring these snakes. Come on, it produced sin in their life. Disobedience produced. That's why you have to watch your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth, what you speak, has power. Come on, say it has power. God created you that way. It could be good for good or it could be for evil. The Bible says the lips are fruit. The fruit of your lips you produce, either life or death. So we got to watch what we say. So they begin to produce, oh, I'm no good. Oh, this is that. God's horrible. God can't believe God. Why does God leave us out here to die? See this? They're producing this, and all of a sudden, what does it produce? Snakes. And the snakes come up, and they represent sin. And they begin to what? Bite them. They begin to get sick. And they begin to die. Kind of looks like what happens with sin. Sin brings death. So God says, all right, listen, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to get a staff. Go ahead, put it up. He says, and I want you to get a brass or a bronze, form it into a snake. I want you to put it on the staff, and I want you to lift it up. And when you lift it up, if they look at it, say, look at it. If by faith they lift up their eyes and look at that, their sicknesses will be gone. And when they did, the snakes went away. They began to be healed. God was showing us a picture of this moment right here. Jesus would become that snake. He became sin that was placed. He took all your sin on the cross. All the sicknesses. All the disease. Come on, I want you to hear this. Come on. That's why he says, by my stripes, you're healed. Because by faith, we recognize that he took it. Say he took it. He took it on the cross. Everything that the enemy, I want you to know this. Listen to me. Sickness is not from God. It's from the devil. Amen? It is from the devil. Sickness and disease, cancer, I don't care what it is. And it just because you might have sickness doesn't mean you're possessed by a devil. Doesn't mean that. It means that, listen, we're still in frail bodies. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to give you victory. God's still God, and he's still a God that heals. He's a God that loves you. And sometimes healing might not come quick enough or this or that, but he's still coming. God's going to heal you, whether on this time or the other time. What he did is final. It is done. And we're to have faith in it and believe. I could give you so many stories of people that stood in faith, believing, in years it took place. And they don't know why. But they stood in faith. Paul said he had a thorn in his side. And he asked God two or three times, time after time, to heal me. He wasn't. It's because God was working. God was doing whatever it was. He's bigger in you than that which is in the world. And whatever comes against you, we cannot get our eyes on that. All right, you ready? Let me finish. So he says he absorbed the consequences. He says, all those who look on me, he says, those that believe on me, he says, but have eternal life. And verse 16, you ready? Here it is. This will give you a whole new picture of this one. You all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm done. So He absorbed it, and He came forth, and what brought Him out of the grave? Love. Resurrection love. Conquers death, the power of death. And now we receive from that resurrection life. All of a sudden, by faith, my spirit that was dead because of sin stands up. Say it stands up. It's risen like He was from out of the grave. So now I come alive. And it says, and I become, now there's new humanity is offered. Go ahead and play something. Could you stand? I'm going to finish. I'm done. I just want to read this. This is one of the most awesome. This really wrecked me. This man was a priest. He was a priest that got filled with the Spirit of God. Changed his life. Because he was doing things about works. But then all of a sudden he realized this right here. This right here. And he wrote this. In the midst of this painful reality, we must dare to reclaim the truth that we are God's beloved. Even when our world does not love us, as long as we allow our parents, our siblings, our teachers, our friends, and our lovers to determine whether we are beloved or not, we are caught in the net of the suffocating world that accepts or rejects us according to its own agenda. Effectiveness and control. And the great spiritual battle begins when we reclaim our status as God's beloved. Long before any human being saw us, we were seen by God's loving eyes. Long before anyone heard us cry or laugh, we are heard by our God, who is has all ears for us. Long before any person spoke to us in the world, we were spoken to by the voice of the eternal love. That even before I chose Him, He was committed to love me. Whether or not I would ever not love Him, He still was going to go to the cross. He was going to present to us a way to break the cycle. I'm here to tell you guys, every one of us tonight, we've been influenced by so many things. But I pray that every one of us, we let the voice of God remind us that we're loved. It will drive you through the wildernesses that you face and choose Him. It's that love that will cause you to go to the cross and surrender everything. Everything. Every your will, all your thoughts, all of the false images, surrender, because you're driven by His love. And that love is a love that will resurrect you, that will rise you up and cause you to be more than a conqueror. So tonight I pray, right now, every one of us, Father God, I pray that each one of us, the God, Lord, that we receive the truth of who You are. Lord, if we don't know You as a personal Savior, God, Lord, right now tonight, Lord, each, whoever that might be, would just declare this, that Father, forgive me, that I might receive Your righteousness, that I might receive Your grace and Your mercy that qualifies me to say I'm a son. God, Lord, that we can break the addictions. We can break the curses that haunt us. And we can flow in a river of love that never ends. Because I'm His beloved. And He loves me. God, we give You praise. We give You glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tell someone you're loved.